Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I think you know who that voice was, and he's going to be on the clock probably, what, a little after 8, maybe around 8:15. The draft starts at 8, right?
Draft starts at 8.
So they'll get to the 8th pick about 8:40? I don't know.
Yeah, that's probably a good 30, 35 minutes, something like that.
All right. Well, here to talk about that and more is Hub Arkush. He is on Twitter at Hub_Arkush, the director of football content for Shaw Media and the editor of Pro Football Weekly. So it's happening again, Hub. The rumors upon rumors, and now reports are indicating that it could be Baker Mayfield as the number one overall pick tonight. I don't know what to believe.
Yeah, it's hard. I believe this. I'll get in trouble with the boss if I don't point out the draft starts at 6, having thescore.com at 6.
So thank you.
We'll be all over it on the stream. It's 8 Eastern, 7. Our time will be the first pick. I have been writing for months that Baker Mayfield is clearly the best quarterback prospect in this draft. And so if you're taking a quarterback at number one, I think that's what Cleveland should do. My gut tells me that's not what they're going to do. We've been hearing Sam Darnold, from inside sources, not so much all the chatter you hear, for weeks now. There's no question that John Dorsey is the only one who knows. I've talked to a couple really good, sources in Cleveland who tell me that obviously he's using all his people, but he's locked in and he's just not sharing it, and that's why it's not leaking. It's going to be Darnold or Mayfield. It is not going to be Josh Allen, and forget the stupidity that's happened there in the last 24 hours.
Why forget that?
Dan, you know how I feel about Twitter. He was a kid. I'm not excusing it. I'm sure most people know what we're talking about. Within the last 24 hours, a news outlet has reported some racially insensitive tweets by Josh Allen from 5 and 6 years ago when he was a sophomore and junior in high school. It's not okay. I'm not excusing it. I'm not defending it. But God, I hope nobody goes back to when I was a sophomore and junior in high school. I mean, you do stupid things. And to decide that at this point in this 24-hour news cycle that's fair or reasonable without knowing the kid, without knowing who he is now, what he learned from it, I hate when stuff like that happens. So
we should mention it's 8 Eastern, 7 Central for the start of the draft.
My mistake.
Yeah, so it's 8 o'clock Eastern, so that's why our programming at 670thescore.com will start at 6 to give you that hour of pre-draft discussion, because we haven't done enough of it in the
close.
Getting to this point.
You and I haven't done our mock draft yet.
So that's right. So if they have them, the Bears probably a little after 8.
Yeah.
I think would be about the time we'd be learning of that. And Hub, I guess I agree to you to a point about he was young and dumb. To globalize it. However, the former NFL players have said that just because of the word that he's using and the other context that he provided and the fact that he's the quarterback of the team, there might be reasonable questions about the environment in which he was raised, where some of that stuff was maybe seemed okay, because it wasn't just one. It was a series of tweets using the word.
And there's absolutely no defense for it. Again, there's a difference between a defense and an excuse. I understand how it happened and why it happened, but my point would be, know the young man now, because again, I'm sure he's not the same person as the one who did that. Maybe that's how he feels, and then the hell with him. I hope he doesn't get drafted. But know him now, and the reporting on this has made no attempt to do this. It's just everybody jumping on to be the next one to say, oh, look what this kid did. And to me, it's a problem with the way we consume our media today. It's probably a different conversation for a different time. And again, the punchline, much like I just said about Mayfield, is, as you guys know, I've been writing for 3 or 4 months now. I wouldn't take him before the fourth round. He's not a good. He hasn't been a good college quarterback. That's the irony of the whole thing, is now I find myself defending and feeling sorry for a kid who's going to probably drop out of the top 5 or top 8, which he was locked into until yesterday, for all the wrong reasons. But it will save some team from making a mistake, because I don't think he's that good a quarterback.
Hub, what would have to happen for the Browns to not take a quarterback at 1?
You know, Connor, I won't fall off my chair. I mean, John Dorsey is a pro, unlike what they've had running the Cleveland Browns for the last couple years. And there's no doubt in my mind that the top 4 to 7 prospects in this draft are not quarterbacks. And so when you've got the first overall pick, shouldn't you get the best player, especially when you're sitting there with the 4th pick? I mean, you know, maybe what we're hearing here, maybe the reason Dorsey's having so much fun with this is that even he's not sure, you know, whether it's Darnold or Mayfield or Rudolph or Allen. So take Bradley Chubb at number one. Or if you think it's Nelson or Barkley, take him at number one. No more than 2 are going to be gone at number 4, you know. So that to me is why this is the most interesting draft we've seen in a long time. You've got the couple teams with multiple first round picks, the Browns, the Bills, the Patriots. They could very easily move this night all over the place. The Browns in particular at 1 and 4. Now, you know, the Browns have got to get a quarterback because they got rid of all their other quarterbacks. You know, they traded for Tyrod Taylor, but he's the only one on the roster right now. So, you know, one of those 2 picks at some point is going to be a quarterback, or even in my latest mock, I actually had them taking Darnold at 1 and then trading the 4th pick with the Bills and going down to 12 and 21, which I think would make perfect sense for a team that needs at least another dozen starters, not just 1 or 2 players.
Hub, who is on the list of possible Bears draft picks that you absolutely right now would say you don't want them to take, that you would be, when we're listening tonight on the stream, that if that name gets called, you're going to say, I don't like it?
Well, I'm not going to say that because I learned my lesson a few years ago.
I wasn't going to mention that. I didn't say your supply of pens that you could throw.
No, I will say I don't like it. I won't say it's a bust. That was the mistake I made when Kyle came off the board, Kyle Long. I think that's been well documented at this point. You know, this is going to surprise some people because a lot of guys are mocking this kid to the Bears. Mock drafting is what I mean, obviously. I think Rokan Smith is an excellent football player. And everything I hear is he's a really good young man. I don't like him for the Bears. He's not a fit. He is an inside linebacker. He's an undersized inside linebacker. Yes, they can get better at that position, but I'm not sure that that's a move that makes them, you know, exponentially better this year, the next couple years, by adding him at inside linebacker. I mean, to me, they desperately need pass rush. They do need help on the interior of the offensive line. I believe they need another playmaker at safety. It's possible that the best player, or at least one of the 2 best players in all 3 of those areas, is going to be there. Rokan Smith does not fit. He's not a pass rusher. He's an inside linebacker. He's an undersized inside linebacker. And if you think he's a good enough athlete to make him a pass rusher, he's not big enough to play outside in a 3-4. So it's an excellent football player who I just don't think is a good fit. Now, that said, remember that Vic Fangio built those Super Bowl, those NFC title defenses around his 2 inside linebackers, Navarro Bowman and Patrick Willis. Willis was a big kid. Bowman's not huge, but he's a lot bigger than Rokan Smith. So it's the fit that troubles me, not the player.
Are the Bills still your prime suspect to move up into the top regions of this draft? And if they are, where do the Patriots rank on that list of suspects?
Well, you know, kind of the Bills, again, kind of have to because they unloaded the quarterbacks. They signed A.J. McCarron. But they don't view him as the future. And sitting at 12 and 22, they're not in a great position to get one of the top 2 or 3 quarterbacks. They can get the 4th or the 5th or the 6th maybe. But they've been pretty clear about their intentions of getting one of those top quarterbacks. So I do think the Bills make a move. Now, the Patriots, you know, they've got flexibility at 23 and 31, but it's not like they have some screaming need. And so I won't be surprised if they move around. Knowing Belichick, they could end up moving down and just stockpiling, you know, more picks. You don't know where they go. I think the wild card here that nobody's talking about, guys, is I believe the 2nd best quarterback prospect in this draft is Mason Rudolph. I believe that strongly. Yeah. And Rudolph, you don't know where he's sitting at 12, at 18, at 23. So, you know, maybe the Bills are playing poker. You know, maybe they start bluffing and maybe they're happy with Rudolph at 12. And I think there's a good chance they could get him. I think it'll be an excellent pick. If that doesn't happen, I think the Cardinals will take him at 15. So, you know, there's going to be trades, but it makes the trade predictions tougher. I think the thing that nobody's talking about, and this is where the Bears come in, is that because these quarterback prospects who shouldn't be going this high are going to go this high. When you're sitting there at 7, at 8, maybe even at 11 or 12, it's possible one of the top 3 or 4 guys on your board is still there, and so other teams could be trading up not to get quarterbacks, but to get this exceptional talent that is slipping down a little bit. And I think there'll be at least one deal to move up for one of those kids who falls a little farther than anybody expects. Probably not Nelson, because it's one thing to take a guard in the top 10. It's another thing to trade up to do it. I don't think that's going to happen. But I could easily see somebody trading up for a Chubb, a Barkley, a Fitzpatrick, maybe even a Derwin James or a Rokan Smith, if those kids start to fall down past 5 or 6.
A name that did not come up in our week of Who's Your Guy is somebody about whom I'm very curious, and that is Shaquem Griffin of Central Florida, who has one hand. And I can't remember this possibility being there in a draft. What are you hearing about the latest? Because we've had some real variation as to what teams think about what he can be.
You know, Dan, I think I told this story on the air once before. Maybe I didn't. But I'm going back to 16, not last year, but 2016. And I'm watching Central Florida at Michigan. I'm an alum. I watch the games. And this kid, and it's middle of the second quarter, and he's made every play so far, and he's tearing it up. And at this point, I haven't noticed he's only got one hand yet. And then they start talking about it. Now, this is 2 seasons ago. Shaquem Griffin is a hell of a football player. And, you know, the limitations he's going to have is he's a little, again, undersized at linebacker. He's a little big at safety. He's got great triangle numbers. I mean, the speed's there, the athleticism, and the strength is there. I forget what the number was, but he did an incredible number of 225 bench reps with a prosthetic fit on that arm. So, you know, you hear this stuff about, oh, he's going to be a great special teams player. Bull, I think he's going to be a great linebacker unless somebody plays him as one of these hybrid safeties. I know coming into the combine and the pro days, folks were looking at him in the 5th, 6th round, maybe the 4th round. I would not be at all surprised to see him go 3rd round. I wouldn't be stunned late in the 2nd round. If you watch the tape, he is that good a football player. But, you know, he's going to be somewhat limited in coverage, and it's not just interceptions. It's even the one arm is obviously shorter than the other because he doesn't have the hand. So he does cover. You know, you'll see it. He does it well, but he's somewhat limited in what he can do in terms of there's not going to be a lot of ball skills there.
Hub, is there a guy, and the answer to this could easily be no, but in the 1st round tonight, is there a guy that might jump in there we might not expect, considering you know, whether it's medicals or whether it's off-field stuff? You and I talked about Arden Key on Monday, I think. Any kind of surprise that way?
Well, when you say jump in, Connor, you know, yeah, there's going to be guys who go higher than they should. There's definitely going to be a handful of guys who you're going to be surprised how far they fall. And it's because of medicals. And at this point, a few hours before the draft, I don't want to go there because, you know, some of this was given to me off the record. I don't want to be the guy who drops one of these, you know. I mean, there are some, you know, medical questions that people know about, you know, where players had injuries. Arden Key's an example, you know, not only the medical, but the fact that just came out in the last month and a half or so that he was in rehab last year. So that stuff happens. But yeah, I'll give you a couple positions. There's a couple offensive linemen, not Nelson, that are going to fall more than you think because of some bad medicals there. Not bad medicals, questionable medicals, where some teams just aren't comfortable with the process. And then there's some kids who've had some surgical procedures immediately after the college season to try and be ready for training camp. But the fact that, you know, they're in rehab and you haven't been able to work them out is going to hurt them a little bit with some teams.
As we talk about the possibility of trades, how far removed are we from that antiquated Jimmy Johnson tote board of value that they just sort of said, if you this first is worth this many thirds or this many picks in other years? There are some close to football who say, yeah, that used to be the guideline, but it isn't anymore. How is that calculated in real time on these calls right now?
It is still used by many teams. Some teams have added their own little adjustment to it, but the place where you got to kind of toss it out the window is with the quarterbacks. You're going to overpay for some of these quarterbacks, and then occasionally, if one of these names that we're talking about has dropped down, you know, half a round further than you thought, you might overpay a little bit. but it is still a very good guide. And there is a copy of there is a draft value chart in all 32 war rooms, and about 28 or 30 of them spin off the original Jimmy Johnson ones.
They have to, don't they? Because I'm thinking, if this is going to work,
regardless
of what some of this can be arbitrary, because it's almost like dealing with a currency market, where as long as everybody's dealing with the same general chart, this can work. Otherwise, the two different offers could seem wildly unbalanced to one GM, where the other GM actually believes he's giving him fair value. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, and you know, while football sabermetrics, if you will, have not advanced to the degree that other sports have, they do exist. And you've got these guys. I mean, I think Josh Lucas in the Bears war room, I think he's got a Harvard degree. I mean, they know how to evaluate and study this stuff. And so most teams have done some work on it, and they might have their own slightly adjusted version of it. But for exactly the reason you just gave, there's got to be somewhere to start, or no deals would get made.
Hub, probably the toughest one for you as we get up to draft night and you guys coverage starting at 6. The likelihood that the Bears move out of the 8 position one way or another. I know that's tough to put a number on or percentage, but has your feeling on that changed at all, you know, since you and I talked on Monday?
Not really. I think that if they move, it almost has to be down. I mean... Unless the only player I could justify going up for is Bradley Chubb, only because he is the top prospect in the draft. And if you saw him at 5 and 6, I think you have to think about it. I would love to see Quentin Nelson in Soldier Field. I'd love to see Minka Fitzpatrick there. But to trade up for that, because, again, it's going to cost you. Any move you make that high in the first round is going to be another probably day two pick, and they're already without a day two pick, and they're not that good yet. And so that's why I do think they're likely to go the other way. I think if they can find a team to do it with, and it's somewhere between, you know, 13 and 18, I don't think they want to go down too far. But you're looking at maybe even 12 if Buffalo hasn't made a move yet. If you can make that move to 12 to 18, you're still going to get a really good pick. You're going to get another at least day two pick, which they need, and I think that would make sense. But that said, you know Ryan Pace, I think we know him at this point. He is a ceilings and traits guy. And at number 8, there's going to be a couple players with incredibly high ceilings and outstanding traits that may be too good for him to trade away from. Now, he talked about it Tuesday. If he sees one of those guys and he thinks that they might still sit there at 12, 13, or 14, then I do think he'll make the deal, because I think he knows he wants that third-round pick back. But I'd say it's, 30-70 that they trade down. I see almost no chance that they trade up.
All right, we'll let you rest up. We've got a big show tonight at 670thescore.com. Hub will be listening. Thank you.
All right, guys, take care.
That is Hub Arkish, and tonight he is going to be joined by Jeff Joniak, Tom Thayer, Dan Pompey, and Patrick Manley, because the Cubs-Brewers is a game is playing on the Score, as you know. So the draft coverage is at 670thescore.com. They're breaking down the whole draft live from Soldier Field, or the first round, I should say. Mark Grody's going to be reporting from Halas Hall. It is all tonight, starting at 6, 670thescore.com.
John Lester gave us some beautiful, beautiful sound last night. And though I enjoyed it quite a bit, with all due respect, sir, I will disagree. We'll tell you what it was when we come back. He's Dan Bernstein. I'm Connor McKnight. This is 670 The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.